You're listening to The Andy Finn Show, centrally located in America, on the TAFS Radio Network.
We are back on The Andy Finn Show, and my guest today is Otto Krager, one of the leading experts in the world on the Myers-Briggs test, or what's formerly known as the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator. Otto, thanks for coming in today.
Hi, Andy, and thank you. It's good to be here. By the way, far be it from me to nitpick at the front end, but the word test is one that those all, including myself, use, but it really is incorrect. Test implies right, wrong. You know that as a college professor. Good, bad, pass, fail. You can't do any one of those three things with the Myers-Briggs. You can't pass or fail. You can't be right or wrong, and there's no inherent good or bad in the way you make your choices.
Well, that really takes the pressure off, but that sounds un-American, you know?
Good point. That's probably why we consciously and unconsciously call it a test.
That's right. Yeah, I'm with you. Well, before we get into the specifics of the Myers-Briggs approach, I have a question for you just in general terms. You've got, 35 years more experience with Myers-Briggs, yes?
35 plus, yeah.
Do you have some sense of what percentage of people, I won't say people in America, because it's mostly a thing used in kind of corporate America or in large organizations, but do you have a sense of what percentage of Americans in the corporate world or in large organizations may have taken Myers-Briggs?
Well, actually a percentage, probably not, but it's a good question in that when I started in this area, the MMPI, the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory, was the largest in the world and the one that was the standard and so on. In the years with which I've been associated with the indicator, it's gone from, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth place to second, and now it is the largest in the world. We are number one. And it sells now. It used to sell 2 million copies a year, and now it's up over that. And you're right in referring to it around individuals and corporate, but the thing that's overlooked and true for the last 20 years are the large numbers of peoples that use it in various professions that get no fame, like colleges and universities have huge databases of Myers-Briggs profiles and work. In addition to that, all kinds of career, what do you call them, guidance, career support services for people changing careers or facing retirement, use it. The military uses it like you can't believe it.
Yeah, you've done quite a bit of work with the military at the Army War College.
All of the senior service, Army War College, Air War College, Naval War College, the Industrial College of the Armed Forces, the National War College, all of the senior service schools of the military, the Federal Executive Institute, the Commanding General Staff Colleges and the Armed Forces Staff, all of those places use these things, use them for families, use them now, but in the educational system, by the way, clergy marriage counseling, huge numbers of clergy. When 25, 30 years ago, when I was working and looking with military databases and what directions to go, two interesting tidbits akin to your original question. The Roman Catholic Church at that time was immersed in the Myers-Briggs type indicator. And I remember asking one of the guys who was a principal user of it, how come? And I loved his answer. He says, first of all, the Catholic Church pays in cash. And when you're an independent consultant, that's good. I said, and second, there's no red tape and they love it. That was amazing. And the second thing, in 1981, there was an article in the MBTI News where the Japanese were the largest. Now, that was 1980 or 81. The largest users in the world were the Japanese.
And what's interesting about that is that that was about the time that the U.S. was figuring out that Japan was eating our lunch in manufacturing and other areas.
Yes.
And that they knew something we didn't. And one of the things they knew was Deming's work and yep. all the organizational stuff, the idea that you drive decisions down, you empower people, yep. you trust the people on the assembly line to improve the assembly line.
And to, all know, lessons, to know something about it.
That's right. Yes. Oh, that's right. That's right. All lessons that our management came to kind of late in yep. this country.
Oh, that's right on, Andy. That's so true. And since that, so if we go back there, now we're looking at 8081. We've gone now to the front position, over 3 million plus sold a year. And it's in over 30 languages worldwide. Now, wow. that's all changed in 25 years.
Yeah, yeah. So the point is that many people out there, if you don't know your own Myers-Briggs or have never taken it, don't know your own type, you know people that have talked about it.
Yes, or give it to you. Community colleges, clergy, you name it.
Well, that's right.
Too. Counselors, career people. All over the place.
So our goal here today is kind of, Otto is going to give us an overview of Myers-Briggs and then walk us through the various components. And then at the end, I want to hear from him what he thinks some of our most well-known politicians, what their type is. For example, I'm very interested in having you tell us what you think President Bush's Myers-Briggs type is. Keep in mind, folks, when we get to this is an informal, unscientific read, but Otto's an expert. He can make anything up.
Okay. By the way, we can even cover it more tightly than that in terms of unscientific. If I have given the Myers-Briggs to either presidential candidates or in some cases the president, then that falls now into a range of confidentiality. And so I can't talk about the people in the database. And we have a huge database and many, 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 many famous people as, I don't want to say high up, but it is high up in England, as high up as the heir apparent to the throne. Those folks are in our database.
And, you gave Princess Diana the test?
No, Princess Diana's husband took the test when he was doing his naval
interesting.
Gig on the way to the top. And so that takes away the freedom to talk about them unless I have in writing their permission to do so.
But it's okay to say that you've given the test to Prince Charles sure. and to other people.
Or
so that, for example,
people.
The Clintons are off limits, I believe, because you have given the MBTI to both Bill and Hillary?
Yes, as are the Doles. As are a number of other people.
Some of the Joint Chiefs?
Yes. Oh, all of the, Colin Powell. Many of those folks, by the way, were my students at the Army War College.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
So that just eliminates Schwarzkopf, whole bunches of people that we can't talk about because they've taken.
Ah, yes, but people like Michael Jackson and Martha Stewart. I mean, I'm sure you can talk about that.
And I'm laughing because, believe it or not, John Bobbitt is in the database.
Is he? Yes. Well, one of the principles we have on this show is to stay away from celebrity trials.
Okay.
I comment on them at the very beginning and at the very end only as a sociological phenomena. But I just refuse to get caught up in the day-to-day machinations of all that stuff.
Smart man, Andy.
Oh,
smart
yeah. We're reasonably smart here.
Now and then.
Well, let me start with a basic question, which is, what are the benefits of knowing the Myers-Briggs for an individual? And then what are the benefits for a group, a team, an organization?
Okay. It is a good question, but you know it's like asking the manager of Safeway, what are the benefits of going to Safeway? Or asking the local parish pastor, what's the advantages of believing in God? As long as we allow that, you're talking to obviously somebody who's got a bias on that stuff. And so allowing the bias, the advantages are endless. They really are endless. The fundamental rubric of it all isn't what we'd like to use it for, which is how can I figure out Andy's type or how, knowing Andy's type, can I use it to work Andy to the bone or whatever.
To control it.
Yeah. And that's not the point.
Right.
The real issue is, and this is probably the ultimate gift of the Myers-Briggs, is what can I learn about me to help me be more effective in a cross-section, in teamwork, in alone time, in marriage or the lack thereof or you name it. But it always comes back to me, not the other person, but we want to project it onto the other person. God, this was a great insight about me. Now, if I only knew this about my mate or about my boss, man, the world would be my oyster. And A, the world's never our oyster, my bias. B, the best I can hope to do is have some modicum of predictability about myself as I try to cope with the surprises of life. And that's really important because we assume that once I've learned, for example, that extroversion means outwardly directed, just to play a minute on a common phrase, okay? The X word, extrovert, means that I'm outwardly focused, my energy is out there, et cetera. Guess what? All extroverts in the world have downtime, have quiet time, have reflection, have contemplation, and even, to use the word, raging extroverts have a now and then when they're not raging extroverts. And that's the beauty. That's not bad. That's the beauty of the human situation. You ought to be in the age range to remember the book Hidden Persuaders.
Oh, yes. I have it on my shelf here.
Vance Packer.
All right. Vance Packer.
If he said nothing else, the beauty of that book is to remember that the beauty of human beings is that no matter how predictable they get, they're always unpredictable.
It's one of the things I hate about the social sciences. You can't prove a dang thing in science, in the social sciences.
Amen, brother. But it's its beauty.
Yeah, it is.
It keeps us employed.
That's right.
B, it's always so god darn exciting to think this is it. I got the corner. And then just then, the little Edsel pops up in each of our personalities and screws up a perfect research project.
The little Edsel.
Edsel, yes.
Well, sir. When I was asking about group or organizational benefits, one of the things I was getting at was, it seems to me there's two kinds of approaches towards people being more tolerant of others that they work with or play with, or understanding others, making things work, getting along, whatever. And one approach is to get at our common humanity, okay? So that if you can get that we all have fears and we all have concerns and we all want certain things out of life, you can go for win-win strategies in a team or an organization, and you can be compassionate towards others. It seems to me that Myers-Briggs does something different than talk about our common humanity. It highlights places where we behave or perform differently, or we have different tendencies, and it helps people become more compassionate or understanding about others by tolerating differences. Is that a safe...
It's a perfectly worded sentence. And let me build on it and say, in that knowledge of meaning understanding our differences, it also then allows you and me to use those differences constructively rather than destructively.
Yes.
So for you to do this differently than I would do it is a plus if I realize you're doing that, because that's a natural way of you're doing something. You're not doing it. Now, it may drive me nuts, but you're not doing it to drive me nuts.
Which is the first thing people assume.
Always,
is that
always. Why does Andy always do that? He knows that's my weak point, and he does it to piss me off.
Right, right. Which, of course,
people
don't.
That's not it at all. He's doing it because that's the way it's so natural for him to do it, and that's a gift. Not a negative.
Yeah, one of the secrets of life I learned a number of years ago, Otto, was the notion that it's never personal. Whatever anybody else does or says to you, they're not doing it to get into your little circle personally. That's just who they are and what they are, and it's their stuff.
See, and I love this because that is true, period. I believe it, no argument. I only want to put a little different spin on it. That's a perfectly ideal thinking, deciding, comment. Do you follow it?
So
for the thinking decider, life is not personal. Life is an objective learning experience. For the feeling decider, life is totally personal, and that's the way I learn.
Well, and we
there's nothing that is not personal.
That's okay. Yeah, yeah, I hear you. Well, and so I by way of self disclosure, I should tell people I am an ENTJ. And when we come back, Otto's going to walk us through a little bit of Myers-Briggs and tell us what that means.
All right.
Get your hands off that mouse. The Andy Finn Show will be right back.
Yeah!